Hello everyone and welcome to this week's Leamington Hour podcast with me, Gary Jones. Now on this week's show, I have got an absolutely cracking interview lined up with you with a local Leamington legend, and his name is Ernie Boxall. Now Ernie's been known as the relaxation guy. He's been doing shiatsu and different techniques for years, but he is passionate about public speaking and passionate about getting people to tell their story through the spoken word, and has set up a brilliant and exciting business all around it. So this interview is going to be split into two parts with a special podcast extra for you guys today. So let's go on part one. I am here today with the man, the myth, the legend, which is Ernie Boxall. And if you haven't been around Leamington and heard his name, I'll be very surprised. Ernie's a local legend, but I'm going to leave him to talk about what he loves, what he's doing at the moment, and how he's got there. So, hi Ernie, cheers for
coming
out. Hi
Gary. Yeah, and thanks for the opportunity.
No,
now Gary, if people do know me in Leamington and Kenilworth, it's probably for my work as a personal trainer,
okay,
a Tai Chi instructor, and with shiatsu therapy, which is something I brought to the show about 14 to 15 years ago, when I was working at Gorson Road Hospital. I'd been through a bad period of my life and didn't look as though I was going anywhere. I'd moved into Coventry to Tile Hill, and on my first visit to a shopping centre, Cannon Park, got to the island then and couldn't remember whether to turn right or left to get back to Tile Hill.
Oh.
So I turned left, which took me past Warwick University. It was the wrong turn.
Okay.
But they were advertising Tai Chi.
Okay.
So I thought, that sounds good, I'll give that a go.
Yeah.
So the point of that, Gary, is that if I'd have turned right, I might not be here now.
No, the wrong turn was actually the right turn in your life.
It gave me a path. And 2 years into the Tai Chi, we were doing a demonstration at a health and ecology show. Looked over the railings of the balcony and people were sitting in chairs with men putting their hands on their shoulders and doing very little.
Okay.
I decided to have a go. A man put his hands on my shoulder and 20 minutes later I woke up. Okay. My shoulders were down by my breasts.
Yeah.
And when I stood up off the chair, it felt like I was walking on air.
Oh, nice.
That was the shiatsu corner.
Got you, okay.
And so I felt that this was an opportunity for me to find out another path in life.
Fair enough.
But I've got to say that over the next over the last 2 years, and thanks to Toastmasters International and the Spa Speakers.
Yeah. Just hold that for just a second. Sorry, loud noise. So,
over the last 2 years, I've been a member of Spa Speakers, Toastmasters International. And through the regular visits there, I've discovered my passion for conversational, presentational speaking.
Okay.
And I realised that it's something that I've had for most of my life, but I wasn't born to be a speaker.
No. Okay.
My parents loved both of them, both working class. The thing I remember about my mother was she would always say, "What you're doing that for, you'll never make a go of that."
Ooh. Okay.
Now I believe she was doing it to protect me.
Yeah. Well, mothers would normally do it to
protect. Whenever I went into a new project, there was a little parrot on my shoulder saying, "You'll never make a go of that." So one of the messages to all parents out there is be very careful what you say to your children.
Yeah, very much so.
But that continued until I was around about 18 or 19. I was playing rugby and was asked to be best man at a wedding of a lad who'd come over from New Zealand. And I said yes. What I didn't realise at the time was that he was marrying the daughter of a local Nuneaton businessman.
Okay.
And the reception would be in front of 120 business people.
Oh, fair enough.
So once I realised that, it came to me that I would have to nail this best man speech.
Best man speeches are pressure cookers at any time.
Particularly but... when yeah. it's a high profile guy in the town.
Exactly, yeah.
So it became a few weeks of absolute preparation mm-hmm. and practice.
Yeah.
I have to say I nailed it. There was a standing ovation. And that was where I decided that speaking was a way to go.
Okay.
But then I realised that I was a coach. Mm-hmm. So I had to be able to communicate with a set of different people from all walks of life.
Yeah.
I became a supply teacher purely through my ability, I was told, to be able to communicate with kids who were not particularly interested in doing a full lesson of education.
Okay.
That worked very well. I carried on my life as a coach, presentational speaker, until, as I say, 2 years ago, when the coaching through the economies and the shiatsu practice had taken a dip, and I joined the Spa Speakers. Mm. And it's given me a whole new creative view of life because it reawoke my love of writing. Mm-hmm. And I found I was then able to go up on stage and to read my poetry, to read my stories, mm-hmm. to play my music. And I realised that everyone has a story. Mm-hmm.
So in terms of Spa Speakers, because I've actually been to a Spa Speaker meeting, I think I've been to maybe two.
Yes.
But this was when I was 18 or 19, so a few years ago. And for me, actually, it gave me a lot of clarity in those just those two meetings,
yes.
like how to talk to people, how to think on my feet while talking,
yeah.
and gave me a, you know, a few tools to do it. Now, at 18, 19... I hadn't developed those skills. So actually, that was a great time for me to do it
yes.
and learn it. So tell if you can you tell people a little bit more about what a general meeting is at?
Spa Speakers.
Or a general Toastmaster meeting.
Yeah, a general Toastmasters meeting yeah. is your what we call meet and greet at the door. Mm-hmm. So someone will be given the role of meeting you with a smile, a handshake, and an introduction to the class.
Okay.
Which is a great preparation for one-to-one meetings. Mm-hmm. Three people have been given a fortnight to prepare a speech from a manual.
Okay.
They are then evaluated on their speech, so you have to learn not only how to prepare a speech, but then how to do an impromptu evaluation on the spot.
Okay.
We have a break, and in the second half, we have what we call table topics. Mm. Which is where someone has been given a fortnight to think of topics for five or six speakers, but you are not told what the topic is.
Yeah.
So the person who prepares stands at the podium and says, my topic is X. Gary, I want you to come out and tell us all why X is for you. Mm-hmm. Gary has, from his chair, 10 yards to the podium, to think about what he's going to say for the next minute to 2 minutes.
Yeah, I can remember doing that.
Yep. And yep. where this ties in with my other love mm-hmm. of speaking is when we go to network meetings. Mm. Now, this is a, excuse me, a passion of mine in that particularly as someone who touches people, mm-hmm. I believe I have to have real trust from the people who work with me.
Of course.
And I feel that I'll get that trust more readily mm-hmm. if people hear me speak and see me speak than if I just hand over a business card.
Makes sense.
So I've developed two programs called the 4 P's mm-hmm. of perfect presentation
yep.
and your 60-second audio business card. And the basis for that card, Gary, as you know, you come to our network meetings, mm-hmm. are for the people who rise at 5:30, who get to the network meeting and readily talk to strangers about their business, and then are asked to stand up for 60-second presentations.
Yeah.
And suddenly it is, I am Ernie Boxall from Balance Health and Fitness, and I'm sorry, Ernie, I am probably not going to contact you.
No.
And I see so many people who do not prepare their 60-second presentation.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that they're missing a trick.
Oh, they are.
There.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, it just leads into my other love now, which is storytelling.
Yeah.
And I look back on my life and realise that even at 20, mm-hmm. I had a raft of stories to tell.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to cut you off there, if you don't mind, because we're going to go on to part two in a second. And I want to hear a bit more about these stories, because I've been to networking events. I know exactly where you mean. I've got a smile on my face because I know where you're coming from. I get it. I hear it every time I go there. So I just want to expand on a few points. So let's come back to part two, if that's all right.
Wonderful.
If you did want to get on the podcast, all you need to do is contact me through Twitter, search me at Leamington Hour, all one word, and then you'll be able to find us, connect with us. You can check me on LinkedIn and Facebook as well as Gary Jones. But mainly, let me know about your story, let me know about your business or event, and we'll get it sorted. But I would love to have you on the show, and I would love to hear, promote and connect you with other business owners and help you promote your business or service. Let's carry on this great interview with me and Ernie. We're back now with Ernie. So we left part one talking about stories and telling. So let's expand on that a little bit more. Why is storytelling really important?
It's focused my life, Gary.
Okay.
And it's been, as I reflect back, a large part of what I think is my life. It's a large part of the people who have been around me, part of their life. And I believe that everyone, as I say, has got a story.
Yeah.
We've all got a story. And particularly when I was doing the shiatsu therapy, it was the story that came out of why people were in pain quite often. But the release of that pain came with them telling the story.
Yeah.
So when I remember back to the first time my grandma took me to the football match. We walked 2 to 3 miles to a football match.
Yeah.
And she was the most vocal of the fans in the stadium. And yet she was the quietest of mouses when she got home.
Yeah.
Later on, there's the story of my deciding to go out with a girl I'd met at one of the rugby matches I played at.
Mm-hmm.
And after 3 months together, we went down to London to a concert. It was an outdoor concert, sitting on a bank, watching an orchestra play in front of an island.
Yeah.
It's scary. We were sitting on a bank,
mm-hmm.
on an watching an orchestra play on an island.
Yeah.
And at midnight, they played the 1812 overture. Cannons went off. The stars were in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most romantic of evenings. And she turned to me and she said, I'm going to Israel on Monday. I didn't even know she was Jewish. This was a shock.
Just a bit, yeah.
But as I thought about it, I've always been a bit of an adventurer.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't particularly enjoy the job I was doing.
No.
So on the spot, decided that I would join her in Israel. I would go with her.
Okay.
So I told my flat partner that I was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Told my boss at work that I was leaving. And my girlfriend went off to Israel the following Monday. We made arrangements to meet at Herky Butts. I went out to play my last game of rugby the following Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
After the game, the lads went out into the town to celebrate my leaving. When one of the barmen said, "What's the celebration?" And I said, "Oh, I'm going to Israel on Monday." His face dropped. He said, "What about the war?" I said, "What war?" "The Yom Kippur war broke out that Saturday."
Oh.
I had a phone call from the kibbutz office.
Yeah.
Asking if I still wanted to go. I had no house, no job. It seemed like this was the only option.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately for me, when I arrived, in Tel Aviv, we were sent to a kibbutz in the Negev Desert. My girlfriend had been sent to a kibbutz on the Lebanon border. She was bombed and rocketed virtually daily. In the Negev, we had one day of war where we were told that they believed the Jordanians brought the guns up to the close to our mountains. So we went to the air raid shelter and we waited.
Yeah.
And we read books and we read and played cards. And then someone came in and said, "Who's working with the chickens?" It was me. And he said, "Come on then, we still have to work." Nothing happened. I had the best 6 months of my life on that kibbutz. But it did give me an insight into the life of an Israeli citizen. It has coloured my views on the Israeli situation. There's no doubt about that. But again, they are views that I've carried through to this day from that story.
So storytelling is massively important. People remember stories.
Yes. It's also communication. The last year at school, we were asked if we wanted pen friends.
Okay.
I chose a girl in America. 3 years later, I went to America to visit her and completely mucked up the meeting.
Okay.
We spent 3 weeks where we were quite likeable to each other, but it never went any, it never went as far as we wrote in our letters.
No, fair enough.
When I left America, it was clear that we were not going to communicate again.
Okay.
Stratford were holding their fair where they closed the streets. I went and there was a gypsy caravan. Tell your fortune. I climbed the steps for some reason. Walked inside. It was dark. The lady said, "Cross my palm with silver." She said, "Make a wish." And I wished that I would talk to this lady again. She said, "Your wish was to speak to someone a long way away and it will come true." Well, absolute rubbish, wasn't it? Because we hadn't written for nearly 6 months. It was over. Let's fast forward to the year 2004.
Okay.
I'm onto the internet looking for a website of mine and the American election comes up. And so I add my four lines to it and forget about it. 3 months later, I go back into Google. The American election comes up. My four lines come up and I just glance underneath. I was your pen friend 36 years ago.
Wow.
We started to communicate again. And in 2007, I went over to visit the family again for 3 weeks. And in March of this year, I went over again to visit them.
Oh, brilliant.
And it cemented my love of America. And it led to perhaps my final story, which is I was sitting in the kitchen talking to the ladies. We're talking now. And she said her best friend was the daughter of a Native American chief. And he was an eagle.
Okay.
He looked after eagles. I love birds of prey. So I said, "Can I go and speak to him?" She said, "No. He's a very, very private person." The phone rang. It was the daughter inviting us to a gathering that weekend. Not only did I meet the chief, I met the tribe and I danced.
Brilliant.
Eight. And I took part in a spiritual service with the tribe. Now, Gary, I was an atheist. or at least an agnostic.
Mm.
Didn't like the church. I'd been told that I was a sinner at 10 when I went to church, and I'd only just woken up on the Sunday. I couldn't remember what sin I'd committed. In this service, we stood around a fire.
Yep.
The lady offered a prayer to the four directions, to the sun and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then she came round and just wafted the smoke from her herbs over us. I cried for some unknown reason.
Yeah.
And I thought, this will do me.
Yeah.
This is where my spirit lies.
Yeah.
Fortunately, this year, the family booked me into a sweat lodge.
Okay.
Which is another American, Native American spiritual. And it was the most profound meeting
mm-hmm.
of my life, which is perhaps another story I'll save for later.
I was going to say, we can talk all day. We can definitely talk all day. In terms of kind of bringing it back around to storytelling for businesses,
yeah,
I believe it's massively important because, as people have heard, if you can tell a good story, if you can communicate, it's going to help your business so much.
Absolutely.
Now, I can remember going to a networking event, well, two networking events with you. One was a Leamington Business Network, and the other one was at the Leamington Tweetup.
Yes.
And at the Leamington Tweetup, I think both events you spoke about the same topic.
Yeah.
About perfect presentation.
Yeah.
But the Leamington Tweetup was a different atmosphere because instead of having a talk over breakfast and facilitating it, you're actually presenting.
That's right. This was a keynote.
That's it. And I really like that. And for me, you've always been a speaker as well as someone who's been in touch with the spiritual side.
Yeah.
That's always been evident to me. And I've known you for about the same time as you've been speaking. Can you give anyone kind of... if you were going to think of one guy, kind of golden nugget, so one top tip you're going to give people. Now, we're going to do an extra special podcast version of this show.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be talking, splitting down about the four P's, a little bit closely. But if you're just going to give one top tip, just one, what would it be?
To be successful in life, Gary, I believe you have to make an impact on people's lives.
Yeah.
And to make an impact on people's lives, you have to make sure that the story you tell people has a purpose and holds their interest.
Yeah.
So if you can practice your story, your business, to make an impact and to be interesting, I believe you'll be more successful.
So your top tip in one sentence would be?
Practice and present your story to the best of your ability.
Ernie, you've been a gem. That's great. I like that. In terms of how going forward, if someone wants to get hold of you on social media or get hold of you, websites, contact details, how would they?
They can contact me on LinkedIn, Gary. LinkedIn, okay. Ernie Boxall.
Yeah.
Facebook, Ernie Boxall. I'm at www.balancehealth-fitness.co.uk or ERNIE_BOXALL@yahoo.co.uk.
Perfect. That's cool. Well, we're going to finish here. As I say, we're going to have a special podcast section coming up. So if you do want to listen to that, let me know and I'll pass it on. Cheers.
Thank you, Gary. Take care.
And you. So in this podcast extra, we're going to be talking about the four P's which Ernie's developed to help you stand up and tell your story. So let's take it away with the podcast extra. As you might guess, Ernie is very passionate about speaking, about communicating, and he's developed a new technique called the four P's for perfect presentation. Is that right?
That's it.
Bit of a tongue twister, but it's all good. So I was just wondering if you can just explain very briefly what each of the four steps are for the listeners.
These are for the people, particularly who want to prepare their and present their 60-second presentations.
Mm-hmm.
The first P is prepare. For me, that means writing out your 60-second presentation, word for word. After that, you practice your 60-second presentation so that it becomes word perfect. Now, I know people say that scripted speeches sound stunted, but I often see people who've written their speech down, haven't practiced it, but read it, and it's lost all its impact.
Yeah.
And also, if you have written down a 60-second presentation, and the leader of the network meeting says, we've only got 45 seconds, suddenly,
Yeah.
But if you prepared it assiduously, then you will know which bits are important, which pieces to leave out.
Brilliant. So that's the first section, prepare.
Prepare, practice, posture.
Okay. So let's go on to practice.
So for posture, the practice is where you practice it.
So you rehearse it.
You rehearse it and rehearse.
And do you do that in front of a mirror? Do you record yourself on your phone?
I record myself. Okay. I record myself. And once you've done that, what allows that you then to do is to bullet point rather than word for word.
Sure.
Bullet point. And then it's about at the meeting. It's the third P is posture.
Okay.
How many times do we see people walk up to the podium, turn, face the audience, and then put their hands in their pockets, or lean against the wall?
Yeah.
For me, you cannot deliver a speech with impact if you're leaning against the wall or putting your hands in your pockets. Mm-hmm. Also, it takes away the part of communication with the hands.
Yeah, true.
Which most professional speakers will tell you are one of the most important points.
Mm. But isn't speech only about 2% of communication?
Absolutely. And the fourth P is the presentation itself.
Sure.
You simply tell people who you are, where you are, what you do, and who you want to speak to. But then if you've been going to network meetings for 4 or 5 months, then you maybe need to change that a little bit.
Yep.
We both know Martin Sparrow, who, no matter what he wants to say, will never go over 60 seconds.
No.
People remember what Martin has to say, even when he changes it.
Mm.
So again, Martin to me is a perfect example of somebody who has prepared and practiced the speech, has great posture, and presents it well. I've seen people, there's a photographer I know, who walked up to the front of the stage, held up a picture and said, I shoot people, and the people pay me for it. Now, what a great opening.
Yeah.
So again, this is all part of the four P's of preparing your perfect presentation.
Perfect. So just to recap, you got prepare, you have practice, you have posture, then you have presentation.
Yes.
Spot on. Cheers, Ernie.
Thank you.
Thank you so, so much, Ernie. You are a legend and an absolute gem. And the four P's are definitely going to help kickstart people speaking if they're really passionate and want to change it. It's not scary. You just need to keep on doing it, and it gets easier and easier. Now, all of these interviews have been on my radio show on Radio Warwickshire, and the title of that show is Limited Hour Radio Show. Now, that's on Mondays between 6:30 and 7:30, and then it's repeated on a Wednesday between 5:00 and 6:00. So check it out if you want to hear more great interviews just like this one. Next week, I've got a brilliant business owner who is going to be talking about his story. So have a great week, everyone.